Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 33, studying Mark chapter 5. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel. At the end of our last broadcast, we had just completed our brief overview and outline of the chapter. In today's program, we start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark 5. Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. Jesus in the country of the Gadarenes, the man with the unclean spirit. In the concluding verses of Mark 4, we noted the following. Jesus repeatedly used parables to teach the multitudes that followed him, a fact referenced twice in Mark 4, verse 33, and Mark 4, verse 34. Jesus explained all things to his disciples. That, more than likely, in context, referred to the meaning of the parables that Jesus taught, Mark 4, 35. That's consistent with what we read earlier in the chapter in Mark 4, verses 10 and following, and Mark 4, verses 13 and following, as well as in the parallel account in Matthew 13, verses 10 and following. Later that day, as evening approached, Jesus said to the apostles, "Let us cross over to the other side." Mark 4, 35. Jesus was, as the opening verses of Mark 4 tells us, teaching the multitudes by the Sea of Galilee. His ministry, as we have noted many times, was not only conducted throughout Galilee's synagogues and villages, but it was also, in large measure, in synagogues and villages that were on the shores of the Galilean Sea. We are not told exactly where Jesus was teaching near the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and following. If we retrace his steps, we find him in a house in Capernaum in Mark 2, verse 1 and following. That's where Jesus healed the paralytic. He was by the sea in Mark 2, verse 13 and following, where we learn of his call of Levi, better known as Matthew. In 2:15 and following, Jesus and his disciples were eating in Matthew's house with other tax collectors and sinners. In Mark 2:23 and following, Jesus and the disciples were traveling through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. Their location was not specified. In chapter 3, verse 1 and following, Jesus was once again in the synagogue in Capernaum. He was there in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and following. On that first occasion, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit from a man. After he healed the man with a withered hand in this context, Mark 3, verses 1 and following, the Pharisees joined with the Herodians to see how they might destroy him. Mark 3, verse 6. When Jesus knew about their plans, he, along with the disciples, withdrew to the sea. Mark 3, 7. Again, where they went was not specified in that setting. Later, in chapter 3, verse 13 and following, Jesus appointed the 12, and Jesus commissioned them to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. Mark's account tells us that this was done up on the mountain, but it does not identify that mountain. The land near the Sea of Galilee, that is, the land on the shores, was lower in elevation than the hills slash mountains that surrounded the lake. Mark may have meant that Jesus took the apostles to, as Cole notes, the hill country of central Galilee, rather than some one particular mountain near Capernaum. At some point after Jesus and the apostles were up on the mountain and he had commissioned them, a multitude came to Jesus again. Jesus, in this setting, continued to teach them. Mark 3, verse 20 and following. The close of the third chapter records the ruler of the demons' accusation against Jesus and Jesus' family's search for him. At the beginning of the fourth chapter, Jesus was teaching by the sea, but, as with the prior instances, no specific physical location was designated. The bulk of Mark chapter 4 contains Jesus' teaching of the multitudes in parables. Then, starting in Mark 4:35, Jesus, as we noted earlier, spoke to the apostles and said, "Let us cross over to the other side." They left the multitude, though some followed in boats. It was at this time, as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, that a storm arose while Jesus was asleep in the boat. When wakened by the disciples, Jesus quieted both the winds and the waves. That brings us to the opening verses of Mark chapter 5, our current focus. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, just happens to specifically, by name, cite the first physical location where Jesus was, since we saw Capernaum mentioned in chapter 1, verses 21 and following, and chapter 2, verses 1 and following. Yes, Jesus was in Galilee, but that was the name of the northern province, not a specific geographic location. Other general regions were also referenced, Mark 3, verse 7 and following, for example. And yes, the Sea of Galilee was noted, but again, that does not specify exactly where Jesus was. And again, yes, oblique references were made to houses, to synagogues, to grain fields, to mountains, to unnamed spots by the side of the sea, and so forth. But Mark 5, verse 1 happens to be the first time a specific location was mentioned since Capernaum was. The first part of this chapter, as we noted in our brief outline through verse 20, deals with Jesus' healing of a demon-possessed man. Unlike other such exorcisms already studied in Mark, this account was much longer, and thus it presented many more details. When Jesus, after crossing the Sea of Galilee, exited the boat, a man came to meet him. The text tells us that the man came out of the tombs because he was dwelling, that is, living among the tombs. Evidently, people had tried to restrain this man before, but without success. Their lack of success appears to be, according to the text, because of this man's superhuman strength. Chains did not restrain him because he pulled them apart, and shackles did not restrain him because he broke them in pieces. It appears that he was uncontrollable. As the text says, neither could anyone tame him. The man had been in this condition, it seems, for some time. The text tells us that he was night and day, in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. This man, the demon-possessed, unclean spirit man, saw Jesus, ran to Jesus, and he worshiped Jesus. There's nothing in this immediate context that tells us how he knew who Jesus was. That information has been withheld from us in this passage, but what we read here was definitely consistent with other accounts where demons, unclean spirits, spoke from within the body of the person they possessed. They not only spoke, but they spoke to Jesus, and in doing so, they indicated that they knew who Jesus was and that they knew what Jesus could do. There are many interesting factors to note about the demon-possessed man in this setting. First, it appears that the demon-possessed man sought Jesus out. Second, it looks like he, or they, intentionally challenged Jesus. Third, in speaking to Jesus, he not only addressed him as deity, he warned him by the name of God himself to act in such a way in sync with what he was requesting, namely, "Do not torment me." All of this relates to more questions about the identity of demons, the purpose of demons, how they relate to Jesus' ministry, how they relate to the identity of who Satan, that is, the devil, was. There are many questions that might be addressed concerning the healing of the man with an unclean spirit in Mark chapter 5. Among them are, first, what does it mean to say that a man could be demon-possessed, that a man could have an unclean spirit? Second, what were demons anyway? Third, where did demons come from? Fourth, why do we witness demons and demon possession at select points in biblical history, but not at other points throughout biblical history? Fifth, how did the role of demon possession play into Jesus' miraculous demonstrations of his deity? The biblical text tells us that Jesus demonstrated power over Satan, over the natural world, over sickness and diseases and so forth, and that Jesus expressed authority over all humanity, over all creation, and over Satan as well. As part of Jesus' demonstration of his power and authority over Satan, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Did demon possession exist and flourish during this period of time so that Jesus might be able to demonstrate his power over Satan in every way possible? Sixth, it's interesting to note the request of the demons. They asked to be allowed to enter the herd of swine. Why exactly was that? Was the assumption that their existence would continue, that they would go on living, go on existing, if they resided within some other living beings, even though it would not be mankind? The text does not tell us the answer to that question. We do, however, see that once the demons were within the herd of swine, that they all perished in the sea. Seventh, some other questions to ask. Why did all 2,000 of the swine run into the sea? There's nothing to indicate that there were 2,000 demons within the man, with each demon then taking up residence within one of the herd of swine. Or was it possible that having infested some of the swine, that those some threw themselves toward the sea, and the rest of the swine, though not possessed of demons, simply followed along? As you can see, there are many questions, not all of them with answers, that are presented in this text. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 5. These reminders as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.